The coaster question started because we had the Flat Earther on. If you don't know, Mark Sargent is the Flat Earther, and he's from Whidbey Island. And he they had the whole Netflix special, and he was like the main character in it.
Oh, shoot.
And he loves to talk to anyone. So we had him on, and one of our other hosts, Brogan, got he would mentioned it at a bar, and everyone got pissed.
We just
want to have him on and answer questions. So he got a bunch of coasters and grabbed a pen and had everyone write down questions on the back of them.
That's
so
awesome.
We had a bunch of drunk people asking flat earther questions.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, they're just written down. You could tell the tone.
Like, I can't hear it, but when I'm reading it, I can hear it.
Yeah, I'm trying to inject no emotion into this, but it's now happening. So
yeah,
it's written in all caps lock. So.
They all were. They were all written in all caps.
Incorporated in 1875, proclaimed as the City of Destiny, Tacoma has maintained itself as the City of Grit. Tacoma kept its in-your-face artistry and individuality that sets it apart from anywhere else in the world. Our never-say-die attitude continues to this day. We are honored to bring to you those who live in Tacoma and its surrounding areas, whose contributions are what bring this city to life. The reputation is real. Welcome to the Grit City Podcast. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Grit City Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Scott.
I'm Derek.
And we are here today with Michelle and David from Tacoma Handy Woman.
Hello.
I'm so stoked about this because, as just kind of a preface, we usually do shout outs for people to contact us and say, hey, if you want somebody to be cool on the Grit City Podcast, go to gritcitypodcast.com and click on maybe our Discord link or our socials and send us a message and say, hey, you should be on.
Info at
gritcitypodcast.com if you're still a boomer and use email, which, hey, we invite all of those. We have some older people in our audience.
We do.
We do. Shout out to Linda, my mother-in-law, who still listens, which I appreciate a lot. But this one, and usually we'll get people to get feedback on this, but I found this myself because you posted on the Tacoma community page on Facebook, which I'm a part of because I want to see all those different things. And it was just a pretty straightforward, hey, I'm a person who can do all sorts of different handiwork and I'm open for, you know, commissions, orders, getting people out there and help them out. I was like, that's fucking cool. And so I emailed you, got it all set up, and then we got set up through Scott. And today, both you and David are here. So welcome.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
And let's get right into it and let's talk about this because you can, right now, you can go to TacomaHandyWoman.com and all the information is there about which, how to book you and all the services you do, which we're going to get into on this aspect. But you can find all of that and stuff. And I just love the beginning of the about section. It's like your local Jill of all trades.
Yeah.
I really love that aspect. And you have, according to the site, 5 years of experience as the handywoman work.
Correct.
Why did you want to get started with this? It seems like one of those sort of aspects that it's not necessarily within not a typical thing that maybe a person would want to do.
Yeah, that's and particularly a woman would mm-hmm. want to do.
Yeah.
And I actually read an interesting statistic the other day that out of all of the trades, out of all the people who make up the trades, only 9% are women. Which is a staggering...
Seems pretty disproportionate.
Like, yes.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. There was a time period in my life where I was kind of struggling with direction. And a friend of mine who owns some real estate, and he also ran a tinting shop at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He hired me on to do window tinting, and then it kind of turned into like just helping him do whatever, you know, whether it be office work, whether it be working on his properties, window tinting as well. And I've always had a passion for carpentry work. I love working, like making stuff out of wood, particularly like furniture and stuff like
nice.
That. And we did this really big, like, overhaul of one of his houses that he was trying to sell. We took it all the way down to the studs in the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, we added a bathroom. I rewired that whole house from knob and tube up to current Romex.
Wow.
And that was like me just learning to wire too.
Damn, like that's crazy because living in a house in Tacoma, and if you're doing Tacoma stuff, like, yeah, we'll get in, like you've seen some shit that I know. Because,
yeah.
I mean, even working, like, right now, we're recording live at the Union Club, which is a fantastic fucking place for...
It's beautiful. It's, I love the architecture.
It's amazing. And, like, to give a quick history of it, it was built in 1888, and it was the original, like, club for the Union leaders to come to and do whatever they do, you know, the conspiracy, the Tacoma Illuminati sort of shit. There's some things, and we've talked about it extensively in the past episodes. But check it out at like unionclubtacoma.com if you're interested, because they've turned it into a co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nice enough to let us record this stuff. But since it was built in 1888, and even with my house, it was built in 1951, there are aspects with the electrical work there are ghosts. There are absolutely ghosts. Ghosts mess with the electrical work. You don't, you know, you gotta deal with that. But even like here, there are light switches, like diagonal,
on the
stairwell.
Yeah.
In one room, the light switch is about shin high.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like that sort of like, oh, we're figuring it out as we go. This is where we want to put it, and this is where it goes on. And you're like,
this is where the Union people used to meet.
Yeah. But it was building in 1888. Like, I don't even think they thought about electricity
at
that point. It was like, they haven't even gotten into there at that. So
there's a room downstairs that we would have been recording in. It's under renovation right now.
Yeah.
But when you go in it, the whole room is at an angle, right?
Oh.
Like it's at an angle. And you think that you're like, oh, it's just sinking or sagging or whatever. But then you
they
look up.
Like
they
that?
Built it like that. The door is at an angle.
And the window frame.
The window frame is cut at an angle. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
It's built that way.
But it's like, for that.
I wonder why.
Just the way it ended up being, you know? Like, who knows? At like, you know, 150 years ago almost, you're like, okay, sure. Like, I guess that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing all of that and seeing the personality, which is why we love it here and recording here, because like you're talking about, it's like three different floors. Yeah. They've got a huge event space. And it's cool to see that architecture and the view. Like,
yeah, the
we'll,
view. Is
we'll give you guys
amazing.
A full tour afterwards.
Yes, I'd love a full tour.
It's so cool to hang out here. But then you just realize like the amount of work, and they have even like Serge, who owns this and a bunch of different co-working spaces around here. They've put a lot of effort into updating a lot of things, and it's really kind of interesting to see where it's gone and where it's come from. And like with my, and you just, the electrical work really kind of triggered me on that, because I was also thinking of my house where we had, before we went in to buy the house, we had to get them to change all the electrical work because we didn't have any grounded sockets.
Yep.
And
that's knob and tube.
Yeah. Yep. And the circuit breaker,
that shit all the time.
Like 25% of them fail, apparently.
Yeah.
And they're it lasted for like 70 years. What the fuck?
Yeah, no. Well, it's like also too, our devices consume so much more power nowadays that like, It's essential really to update your electrical. We just did this job in Bremerton, where, oh my gosh. What was supposed to be like a 1 day, like 5 hour job turned into like a 4 day, 30 hour job.
Oh no.
She called in backup on that one. Cause I was she mentioned it. And then when she was like, I was like, I thought you said it would take 1 day. And I was like, do you want some help? And she's like, please. When I got there, I was like, this don't seem too bad. And then at the end of the night, like 9 hours later, when we were leaving, I was just
we're not done yet.
In the car. I was like,
that was
the first quiet drive home at the same time we've ever had.
The music is off. You guys are just listening to your own thought, like not even thinking.
Just autopilot, like. But yeah, no, I got a call from Tribal Electric, which is an amazing electrician company based out up in Seattle. They are LGBTQ friendly, co-owned by a couple of women. They have an all female electrical team, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Cool.
I love it. But so she was like, so we've been running into this problem with this house. So what happened is that the people bought the house, and you know, when you're making payments on a house, you have to have full coverage insurance, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep. Yep.
But their insurance dropped them because they have knob and tube, electrical wiring.
Yeah. Insurance wouldn't even let, like, the mortgage company wouldn't even go further until they did it.
Yeah. Some mortgage companies won't even finance you.
Yeah straight
exactly.
Up.
So, they had to basically update their wiring. And like when I was talking, on the phone to the, owner, she was like, yeah, we just need like 20 to 30 like 2x3-inch holes or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she sent me a picture of what they were dealing with, which was so it honestly was more like soft concrete. I guess it's Latin plaster, but I don't know, don't quote me on that. But then behind that was chicken wire.
Oh.
And then behind that was a 1/4-inch of plaster. And then behind that, we had 3/4-inch tongue and groove cedar just to get inside the walls.
Mind you, 100-year-old plus cedar that had basically become hardwood at this
point. Yeah, it was.
Damn.
And then when I got there, the head electrician was like, okay, so we need this, this, and this. And like, I'm looking at all these holes that she's pointing out. Like, most of them are above my head, so I've got to hold my arms up like all day.
Oh, that's not completely tiring.
And they were not 2-inch by 3-inch holes. All of them were at least like probably about a foot or more.
Wow.
It was a lot of work. It ate through a lot of saw blades.
We were so exhausted at the end of the day. We were like, we're running out of light, we're out of time. I told her, I was like, I'll come back tomorrow. Because she's like, I need to get a to other job. I was like, I'll come back tomorrow and finish this. On the way up there, I bought like another 15 pack of blades. And like, I came up there, I was stretching. And I think by the end of the day, I was reloading blades throughout the whole project. I'd be like cutting. The minute I noticed it, just pop another one in, keep going.
And start going through the old ones again.
I had 3 blades left at the end of it.
Wow.
Because this material would literally, imagine sanding down the metal. So every blade would have this little groove cut into it after
and
a while.
The new homeowners like have no idea. They're just like, hey, we just need this thing saw that we probably know what we need. Maybe just looking at like a video or someone telling them this is what they need.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool. And it just gets me back to the electrical in my house. Like getting back to that, because it was that same thing. We found out when we started trying to replace larger appliances, mm-hmm. we don't have crowns on any of them.
Yeah.
So they won't even, like, we had to call in an electrician to add a ground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To this stuff so we could plug in our new dishwasher. It was like some of that insanity.
They probably ran new wire to the dishwasher instead of just adding a ground. Because I worked with an electrician for about a year and a half, maybe two, he's taught me a lot, like a lot of the electrical stuff that I know. And like, he gave me the NEC code book and all of that, because I've always been interested in it. And I actually do a lot of it in my business work.
Nice.
But I was talking to him and he says, well, like whenever, you know, you come to, if you're opening up a project, to, you know, like install a new appliance, that, you know, you have to bring it up to code.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. You end up having to, the electrician ends up having to, you know, fish through the walls to put new Romex in. And
we're going to have to.
The bills can get expensive.
We looked just the general, like, Google, how much does it cost to rewire a house? And we're like, fuck, okay, well, eventually we'll do that, you know? And it's like, because we want to do things like the home improvement aspect is. It just reminds me, and my wife quotes this a lot of the times, but if you've seen Malcolm in the Middle, when the dad is trying to change the light bulb in the fridge, and he goes to the fridge and he goes, goes to the drawer, the handle's broken. Well, you got to fix the handle. You know what it is. And you're like, it suddenly becomes this huge long chain of work to get to the end point. And you're just like,
Sounds like me every day. It's me at my house every day.
Yeah, no, he was just telling me, we were out at his shop the other day. He's like, whenever I'm trying to do a project, I like to make a jig so that I can do it easier the next time. And then so that ends up taking up the time before he can get to the actual project he's working on.
Yeah, when I first started working out of my shop, I had to build when I was trying to weld something, I was like, I need a table. So I built a table to weld on. And then after I made the table, I was like, this table is not functioning right. I need to adjust it in a way. So then I made a bracket to hold the welder easier. And then after I made the bracket, I was like, this table sucks to weld on because it's wood. So I made a welding table on the table I built. And after like 3 weeks, I was like, what was I building to begin with?
And now you got a sweet welding table.
Yeah, I was like, it worked. But
and so TacomaHandyWoman.com is where people can find you. Also on Facebook is the same thing. The links are all there as well. David, how did you end up getting involved with the handiwork here?
Honestly, I've the same way as her. Of like, my dad was a plumber, and growing up, it was really interesting how like my brother took the business aspects of my dad, and I took all of his like handy aspects.
The work that
I can't be in an office. I need to be physical labor of some kind. My first job ever was working on the farm for a friend of my grandpa's as like a farmhand, basically, and. Working on there, I learned a lot from him. And while working there, his house was getting renovated. And there were many days that, like, it was a very just simple job of just, like, anything he needs doing, I'm there to help him. Because he was getting older. He just had a daughter. And he was like, I'll pay you. I was best turned 15 at the time. And he's like, I'll give you 10 bucks an hour just to come help me on my property.
10 bucks an hour at 15? Fuck yeah.
I thought he was rich.
That's big money.
I can tell you, I can show you right now on my phone. I still have the picture of me at the end of like 3 weeks saving up all my money. I thought I was rich.
Dude, yes. Yeah,
I think I had like 120 bucks.
At that point, yeah. And it's the same thing with me as like being at 16, being a painter's you, man. It's just like, okay, I'm a gopher.
Yeah,
that's
gopher.
Fine, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm figuring stuff out. And
what?
See if
I didn't know you did this.
I worked for, my grandpa really wanted me out of the house and to have a real job. So he literally got me a job with these painting guys. And so, I did painting for a summer.
That's
it was cool.
Funny.
I bought a whole bunch of CDs and lost all that. Like, that money was gone.
I saved up to buy my first computer, and then I would buy Steam cards all the time for Counter-Strike.
Fucking nerd. Oh, you played CS?
I didn't play it. I just gambled with the cards. My friend unboxed the knife, so every week I'd buy one $20 Steam card, hopes to make money off of it.
Oh, play the lotto.
And I think if I look at when I moved, I kept all the Steam cards as a reminder to myself to not gamble.
Do that again.
Because,
this is like the gacha boxes, essentially, at that point, right?
It goes into skin trade. It's awful. It is, yeah.
For a 15-year-old that has no concept of bills, awful.
Yeah. Especially when there are certain controversies that come out of, hey, these were planted, or hey, this guy owns the company that he's playing.
Yeah. It's like the old Monopoly scandal back in the day. If you've ever seen that shit was fucking the McDonald's Monopoly.
Oh.
Yeah, there was one shady-ass motherfucker in New York that taking all the prizes and distributing to all of his friends.
Oh,
so my shady shit over here when I was delivering newspapers and stealing all the inserts.
Oh, I delivered newspapers too.
Going to Tribune?
No. It was when I lived in Oregon, but you talk about making $10 an hour. Yep. I was making 11 and a half cents per paper on my bicycle.
And did you have to go around to the houses and collect from the people?
No. So
oh,
it wasn't.
Fuck.
So
I had to. I hated that with a passion.
So the new, what was it called? The News Register, I think. It was in McMinnville, Oregon, I guess it's actually gotten a lot bigger now, but they took all the payments and stuff. But I loved it around the holidays because I always get tips or like little gifts from from my customers. And but I made like 60 bucks a month.
But at that age, you're like, paid. You can do whatever you want with it.
I took care of my cat with it.
Aww. That's adorable. I love that.
Yeah, I was gonna say at the time, I just learned, like, was a sponge for information about anything because I found it cool. Because after he had me do like an endurance test when I first started working there, I spent 6 months cutting scotch bloom in a field, basically.
The fuck is scotch bloom?
It is the if you ever drive down
the
street,
if you have allergies, you'd know.
You ever seen that stuff on the road that looks kind of like a tree, but it's small and it has like the yellow flowers that will sprout?
Yeah,
and a scotch bloom is an extremely invasive and tough weed that sucks.
And you intimately know it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was out there with a saw, like a sawzall and everything, just like, because it looks weak, but it is the strongest stuff. So you literally got to cut down to the root with like a saw and rip it out of the ground.
Wow.
And after about 6 months, he's like, oh, you've earned you survived. All right, we're going to do the cool stuff now. And I was like,
wow.
Hey, you know what? I understand it, though, because he didn't want to waste his time if he was just going to, you know, he had said he'd hired other people before to do stuff and no one could last.
And it's, I mean, especially when you're dealing, if you're dealing with like teenagers.
Exactly.
Like if it's not something they're down to do, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that I say I got to do the fun stuff because then for the next year I was digging post holes. Basically,
that's the real fun stuff. No.
if we didn't have a project, I was working on a fence we were building. And I think I dug about 600 feet of post holes worth of fence. One every 8 feet, 2 feet deep with a post hole digger and a metal pole. And I will say, as a 15-year-old, I felt like I was jacked. I was in amazing shape.
You probably were.
Because I was also on the swim team, so I was like, man, this feels great. I feel so strong.
Like the upper body strength like that. You're just crushing
now that I'm older, I'm like, that ruined me. It's like, no wonder I would crack and pop in the morning.
Oh, dude. Yeah, so how do you feel about digging post holes now?
Yeah, I see a post digger. I'm like...
those things are so inefficient.
Yeah, but hey, man, that place though taught me the work ethic that I think I've carried through my whole life. So I appreciate every second of it, and it's what eventually when he was getting his house renovated, I just found myself like wanting to gravitate towards the electrical workers and the carpenters. And both of the guys that I met were like 30 years in the trades. So both of them, I was just like, oh, you guys look beat up, but you guys look like you know what you're doing, and I love it.
Well, and I mean, it's one like any of the physical trades, especially with like building or any of those aspects, like it's a young person's gig. And then as you're older and you get that experience, I feel it's kind of on those people for that experience. It's like, stop beating your body up with that and teach other people who are interested in the physical work to do that. And then you can also build them up to do the same thing. It feels like it's a real sort of like
cyclical.
You need to do that because you don't want to be like 50 or 60 still being the one doing all that manual labor.
Yeah, sure. I sure do wish that I started this business when I was in my early 20s.
So when did you start it?
So I officially started this business. I got my business license February of this year.
So you are fresh. So when I saw that post, it was like probably one of your first posts then.
Yeah, it probably was. I've been doing like... So I looked into like doing advertising through like Angie Leads and Thumbtack and stuff like that. But you have to pay to get any lead that you get, and it may not pan out, you know. Yep. So I decided to go kind of more grassroots and just go on the community pages in Tacoma, neighborhood pages, even buy sell groups, and just post myself there. And I've gotten a lot of response from the community, which I'm really grateful for, and not have to spend, you know, any money in advertising.
However, have you reached out to realtors? I know you talked about your friend being a realtor. And the only reason I ask is I have friends that are realtors. And the number one complaint you talk to any realtor about, like flipping a house or moving a house, is it's impossible to find people to do work.
Yeah.
Impossible.
A few realtors have actually reached out to me. There's one that I'll be working with. I sent her a bid. She's submitting to the homeowners, and I'm going to be doing some trim work, like finished carpentry stuff on the house. And I've also joined another Facebook group. It's just starting out. I believe it's called Blooming Business. It's a women in business group.
Nice.
That there's a few realtors that one of the actually founders is a realtor, and she said, you know, I will definitely be reaching out to you.
Real estate investors as well.
Yes.
People that actually just buy to flip or sell,
yeah,
or rent.
I'd love to work with any and all of them.
Bigger Pockets. I used to biggerpockets.com, I believe, is the thing. And I think they have podcasts and all kinds of things. They were way smaller when I was more interested in it.
Yeah.
But it was a great resource. Well, and interesting is they are actually from Aberdeen.
Oh,
and when they started, it was like a forum for real estate people. And then he did a podcast, and now they're gigantic, right?
Well, and it's like if you can start anything at that word of mouth grassroots level,
yep,
it's gonna build. I really feel it's gonna build a stronger base because
Peace Kitchen.
Yeah. Right, yeah. There. Like we've talked with a bunch of like the local, a lot of the local food businesses, but that was the reason why I reached out to you. It's because if you're throwing it out there that you're willing to do this sort of thing and you're licensed, bonded, and insured, correct?
Correct.
See, and this is it was a loaded question because I knew, but it was like that same reason, like we talk and then we support Rusty.
Yep.
With his RCF exteriors, like he's putting in windows and shit for people, but it's a local guy that we know. And it's like, we want to get to know you so you can go out there and just spread the word. And
that's the plumbers as well. We've had Heart Services on as well.
Yeah. And I mean, they're a bigger company, but they're based locally, and it's that they get anyone from the local community. The last guy we've had on a couple times, he lives in University Place, and he had to deal with his own sewer backup as he was coming in that day. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little late. My own toilet backed up, and I'm going to have to get a whole work order for myself.
But also they have a program to support the trades, right? Yeah. Like they do something like an apprenticeship type program to bring people in and do plumbing. So
yeah, so actually one of the things that I'd like to do in the next upcoming months is I'd like to reach out to local businesses and kind of like learn, like I'd like to expand my knowledge. Like I am like a sponge. Like I honestly wish I could learn to do everything. And I mean everything. I wish I could learn everything.
That's so awesome.
And, but my plan is like, I'd like to reach out to like, you know, particularly like things that I don't have a super lot of experience with, like tiling. I had, somebody ask me about doing some stairs. What else? Oh, and, like I can replace a toilet, sink, faucet or whatnot, but I'd really like to learn more about plumbing, you know?
You say that, sorry, just so you know, you say that super casually, like I can replace a toilet and sink. It's, a lot of people can't. A lot of people can't.
No.
Yeah. From like, that job we did, a lot of people don't want to.
You know,
that as well. Like I've realized that, I would rather pay a professional who knows what they're doing than me trying to figure it out on my own home.
What happened the last time you used a drill? Tell them about this.
Which one? Oh, which
this
time?
This is a story.
Which time?
The last time when you talked about the drill bit just falling out?
Oh. I mean, it got stuck, and it took me a little while to, like, get it out. And yeah,
how do I not know this story?
What's okay? So
because it wasn't an actual drill he was using. I think he was using like a powered screwdriver, and he just had the little like adapter with the drill bit piece in.
So okay. So I have a battery powered drill, like
screwdriver.
Like, well, it's a screwdriver. Yes, you're right. You're right. Like
those are very two different things.
You're so. Right. But also, I consider it a drill. But you're right. It's a screwdriver. But I didn't have the right bit for it because it's not a drill. So I grabbed a drill bit from the other thing and used it on that. Didn't quite work out.
See?
Like from an impact driver or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
You just confused him. As soon as you said impact, he's like, making up words.
This is funny because the hardest part is that she's way more professionally like taught, I can tell, because she says the real names for things, and I look at her with this look of like,
I'm like, do you mean a circular saw?
It's been a nightmare.
And
sometimes
you're like, yeah, the grabby one.
Well, because in my head, I grew up with a bunch of guys, like people that were just like, you know, that gave me the wrench, and then I had to figure out by the look of their eyes which wrench they needed.
Yeah.
So in my head, these like, all three are wrenches.
Over it. Yeah, you're putting your hand over this one. No. And this one. No.
That in particular has been something. I'm like, she's like, can you hand me my screwdriver? And I'm like.
But you're the Torx bit.
Yeah, and I hand her something. She's like, the other screwdriver. And I was like, the drill, the impact. There we go.
That was like when I was like, when we bought the house 6 years ago. And Scott was like, he like gives me like all these books on like how to build a deck and all this stuff.
I'm like, I do. I'm like, off. Oh, you're going to be handy, right? You have shit in your backyard. He's got all these decks and beautiful backyard and walkway and stuff. I'm like, he's going to want to like, you know, finish them and sand them and all the things, right? Mm-hmm. No, he didn't give a fuck at all. Not even a little bit.
This summer are those projects.
His wife is all in on this stuff.
She's the one who is down, like, I mean.
And he's all fine.
Yeah. Like, at this point, we've got a really cool wooden deck that, very nautical type theme sort of aspect of it. And with our burn pit, I've realized this year is the one where we have to replace the top layer of wood.
Right.
And I know how to do it. I just literally.
Do ya?
Yeah.
Do ya?
Yeah. I take. Where'd I take
you
my,
learn? Do you know Where'd which you way to lay the boards? You know which side you lay the boards?
Okay, so TacomaHandywoman.com. I'm going to be contacting Michelle about how to do this, it seems. But no, absolutely not. And that's the thing, too, because I'm like, I don't crown even up. Know what kind of fucking crown up.
Yeah, so when you're looking at the board, for the boards that you're laying flat,
mm-hmm.
You have your rings, you know, in them. Yeah. And so what you want is them to be smiling, not frowning.
Oh, see, that helps. That helps a lot.
Yeah. And it, okay. It, it'll
can
help
I can visualize
with the,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll help with, the length of time that your deck is going to last as well.
And it gets down to like all of the aspects of it and like looking it up online, like on like YouTube and trying to like look at, I get this. I don't know if it's necessarily like information paralysis, but then realizing again, going back to like all these different steps of what I'm going to have to do. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know how to do any of this.
I honestly, hearing that, I would rather someone get the information paralysis versus the people I bought my home from.
Oh, just wing it?
Yeah. Like we've talked about it on here where it's like replacing the wax seal on my toilet, realizing that they drilled straight into the floor rather than putting a ring in.
Oh, no.
Like I said, she's more taught.
No
I'm
flange
more...
at all?
None.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Not having a worky toilet after having drank a bunch of coffee that morning to get myself ready. I was happy to have an excuse.
I just had.
I was very happy to have an excuse to go back to the hardware store to use a restroom.
Love that. Let's hit up some of our coaster questions because we did mention this a little bit. I gave you a little bit of a preface of the coaster questions, which are it started off as drunk people asking questions about angrily asking questions about flat earthers, and it's morphed into our Discord channel, which we have. So if you go to gritcitypodcast.com, click on the Discord link, you can hop right in and hang out with us and hit up the coaster questions. And I even threw it out there. I was like, hey, ask some questions because we've got the handy woman coming in. And the first one actually came from my wife, Michelle, and she said, what are handy home tools to get when you get your first apartment. Mm. So, I remember that. We got a little tiny set of little tiny tools.
I built a list like this for my friends.
Nice.
When I moved out here, I used to live on Yelm, and I actually have a list of PDF I send to my friends.
Really? That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
That would make a great blog post.
Yeah,
dude.
It was
for her or for us. I'm just saying.
I built because I had all my tools, and I lived out in Yelm on a property that has probably three, like almost two centuries on it.
Oh, wow.
The barn on the property was built from trees cut down and soaked in kerosene to treat them, and then planked and then built the whole thing.
So that's not a fire hazard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, not anymore. Of course not.
I love it. But, like, going through that place, I was used to fixing everything, and then moving out to an apartment out here, I have to now call someone to fix things that I would like, let me just tear it apart and see how it works.
Right, yeah.
And
so what do you think are some of the basic things that people need in their apartment tool chest, I guess?
So, I mean, on Amazon, you can get, you know, one of those basic, like, home repair, like, common home repair things. But truly, you need a drill.
Screwdriver?
Yeah.
Electric screwdriver.
They've actually come a long ways. I'm actually thinking about adding an electric screwdriver to my toolkit because they're lighter.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing electrical work and you're having to like hold this here and then try to like get something like in the right position so that the screw will go into the hole.
I get so mad.
Oh, that's great.
You always need one extra arm.
Yes, always. Yes, definitely. But like, you know, and especially with when I'm working like above my head, it's like, you know, holding that drill gets heavy, you know? And so like electric screwdriver or like drill, you want to get some, I recommend, like, I hate Phillips head screws so much.
Do they just strip more? Like they, easier? They, like it seems,
oh, I don't like using them because of that.
Yeah.
They honestly, like, David taught me this word, Chinesium. It's like the metal that just like bends and like,
oh, it just the Walmart checkout stand thing of bits you get where like, oh, that's like 25 screwdriver bits for cheap. Yeah, I'll grab that. And then you go through five of them with the one screw you're trying to put in.
It just melts
because it just melts.
Yeah.
I got some screws off of Amazon and they were the worst. I like, even I strip screws, you know, like, but these ones, I stripped every single one. I threw them directly into the trash and wrote a 1-star review.
Do not use.
Yeah. So I recommend, so I had my first apartment when I was 18 and, there was some things that my dad taught me that, I think, and also I actually saw on a video later, but like with your door and like your door hardware, like the screws that they have in there are very tiny.
Yep.
And they're easily, like, if somebody's trying to get into your apartment, it's really easy. So you should replace those with longer screws. I like, my personal preference is a square bit head, but the Torx, which is like the star looking one, is easy to use. I've never stripped a single one of those ever.
Much better.
That sounds like a solid call on that then. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, I always recommend, you know, do longer screws in your door hardware because, my cousin actually, she had a crazy baby daddy who like broke down her door.
Just like kicked it in because the screws are short, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, and I mean, especially in Tacoma, it seems solid to have the longer screws.
Yes.
I can attest to that. I had a guy try and break into my apartment while I was there, and he was on something. And I live
so
right
not
up,
a guy you know, just
oh,
like
no.
a rando?
I live right up here on Yakima. And when I moved in, I installed a latch, like one of those little safety latches.
Yeah.
I installed one of those because on my door, it's like right off to the road. So I was like, just be safe. And it has like a window in the door. So I knew someone could just break the window and put their hand in.
Oh, shit.
So this latch, I measured it so you couldn't reach it.
Nice.
So when I'm like leaving, or if I'm over the night, and I had a guy just try and get in. And he was on something because even with me there, saying like, you know, I'm on the phone with the police. He got angry at me and was just started mumbling about the stuff he was going to do to me. And he got to me. He's just like ramming. And I had done that after I moved in. I put the new screws in.
Whoa.
And I'm swear between those and that door latch is what kept him from being able to get in.
If people listening take anything away, it's fucking latch your doors extra.
Oh, yeah.
If you're like on street level,
lock your doors, latch your doors, and just the extra bit of security you can add, that little bit can go a long way.
Our house is it's right off of Pacific, but we still don't necessarily get a lot of foot traffic, but we've gotten some, and it hasn't been like in our yard, but we've had people rummaging in the trash in our neighbor's place and just going straight up to their stuff and like seeing what they could find or someone trying to even get over, like climb over the fence to get into the neighbor's backyard into their detached garage.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to expect that, but you want to be prepared for the possibility of that happening and not having to worry.
Yeah. Always like I always have this saying, like, prepare for the worst, you know, but
yeah, expect the best, but prepare for the worst. Yeah.
You left the first part out of that. You were just like, man, just prepare for the worst.
That's like Scott's mantra. The fucking nihilist.
I was like,
high five and
going.
I'm not a pessimist or anything.
Yeah. I think living out in Yelm and stuff like that and coming into here, I grew up with a mom that was paranoid, you know, a single mother being super paranoid
I just expected to be like, you know what? I get this latch to put on my door because who knows? I mean,
I literally told them earlier today. I was like, bad shit happens, man.
just the sentence ends.
And that was it.
Just the whole sentence.
You leave in the context of we were talking about you in this situation.
Yeah, but it was still true.
Listen, you spend enough time on YouTube, too. You see the stuff that people get away with and people just look like Facebook and Instagram lately. You'll see people, videos of people just walking into people's houses.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay.
Like, Kia boys and
After I installed a doorbell cam on my house, I forgot to. So, long story short, we lost the front part of our fence that faces the main road. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
To wind?
Yes.
We just lost it.
It just got out of the way.
I feel like just a feral Tacoma driver.
Long story short, I want to hear the rest of this. The sun is gone.
So, okay, I'll back up a little bit since we have handy people here. When I went to put new hardware on for the front gate, I realized that the screws were just pushing into the wood because,
they used
the wrong stuff and it had rotted.
It's soft wood. Wait, what?
And so someone saw a gap from the front street. I mean, I'm off of 38th, but it's still a side street, and saw that there was a full path if they just walked through beside my house to get to the alleyway. So they did.
Shortcut.
Yeah, like right after. Like I woke up the next morning. I get up, 3 in the morning to get ready for work. Notification. Okay, I look, and it's just some dude just strolling through.
Just walking on by.
Yeah.
3 in the morning, what do you do?
I work at a factory. I'm actually a buyer for the maintenance team.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So he gets all the parts and stuff.
Someone else that understands my pain.
I go to Granger at least 2-3 times a week, if not that day.
Oh, yeah. So I wake up at 3 for work, too. So.
I used to. Now I wake up at 5:30, and it's so nice.
I wake up at 4 no matter what. Doesn't matter. Yeah, this Saturdays,
is this guy
Sundays.
Is like my grandpa, man. He's like, he gets up at, like, so early.
Yeah, I just start texting these guys at fucking 5, too. I'm like,
I'm fine with that. It's when you text me after 9 o'clock, and I'm already in bed, and my wife's yelling at me.
I don't do that. You and me know it's funny when you tell people I slept in till like 7 o'clock today, and they're like, "What do you mean?"
I got up at 5:45 this morning.
Yeah. And I was like, "That's sleeping in." Yep. You're used to waking up at 4.
Yeah.
The next ghoster question: what's the craziest home hack / fix that you've seen? So is it something that
you say fix or hack?
Yes. Someone thought.
What did you have to fix that they thought was a hack?
We've seen some fixes.
What hack did you have to fix?
I feel like a hack is a positive thing, right?
Generally, yeah.
So I feel like it should be a positive thing.
Okay. Like maybe one that surprised you,
if you have some crazy like negative things too. I see some crazy shit in casinos.
This is a hard one.
Even with like what we've seen here with like a lot of the electrical, you realize that a lot of places just kind of took liberties
installing stuff.
I've definitely seen
that many times.
I definitely see some brow racing electrical for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have one. So I actually went to go do an estimate for this one lady that was out on in the north end of Tacoma.
Ooh,
like
fancy.
Yeah, like old Tacoma. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And so her faucets, and like I have never seen this in my entire life, but so somebody took the faucet and spliced in the hot and the cold directly into the faucet portion. The brass was like hanging, so it came, it was like a V, and then at the end of the V it went straight down and like hooked to her like hot water and cold water inlets. And I'm like, there's no way how would anybody remove this? but
it sounds like a jigsaw trap.
I was actually impressed at the welding skills though, because that somebody had to do that. Like I was just
was
like,
it like its own fabricated piece? Did they have to like seriously like custom make this entire thing? Like
yeah, so
maybe
they
that's
used...
their thing. They're like, we make these cool fucking things and let's check this out.
But it had the cover of like a regular ass box. faucet.
Normally, right? It comes straight up into each one.
Normally you'd have your hot and cold water connections that you twist up and to a connector that's at the bottom that's at the bottom of the faucet. But no, they had like pipes running down from this V-like contraption and then connected the hot.
They're just
and cold.
Overcomplicating the whole matter.
That's what
like plumbing isn't that hard. Like, well, I mean, I'm not the person that's going to go out there and do it. I'm going to ask it, but I'm like looking at as it goes along and I'm like looking
at the idea of
once
plumbing.
Once you know what to do, it's pretty simple to go A, B, C. So you're like, okay, I just know I got to do this, this, this.
Like, why are you adding extra steps?
There is definitely skill involved.
Especially when it comes to like metal, like brass and copper plumbing and fittings and stuff, like sweating the pipes and stuff like that. I don't know really much about that at all. But so with plumbing, like, there's not a lot of times where you need to use tools, actually. Like, when we're talking about, like, a hot and cold water shutoff, like, you use your hands to tighten or loosen the valve. Somebody had taken, I'm guessing, a wrench, and, like, the oval valve that you turn close the hot water was, like, crunched. And then the other two sinks that I was looking at, I couldn't even turn them. Whoever had been down there, like, it wasn't hand tightened. It was
so maybe after many years, it just fused, like it stuck or something like that.
Well,
like,
she said that she'd had like a plumber out there before and working on her stuff. I'm like, well, a plumber should know better, right?
Yeah. It's plumber.
Like, it's like when you walk, like as any person working and doing that sort of contractor work, you walk in, you're like, who did this? You just shake your head, no matter what. Just man, what are they doing? And that way you set the standard that you are better than whatever they did
What was I told you last night that I was listening to an ER guy talk about like ER visits, and one thing you never want to hear an emergency response person say is like, oh no. Like, that's the same thing with a handy person. When you call someone to look at something, they go, oof.
Yeah. Like, you just know, just like, that
whatever they thought the job was going to be, it just got doubled in time and doubled in effort, and they no longer want to do it. Because I think even you and me have seen a lot of times where it's like, I think half the time when you're fixing something, you just got to figure out what shortcuts to the last person that either fixed it or installed it took that are now going to make your life horrible.
Yeah.
Because if they had just done it the simple, easy way, it'd be fine. But now, because they wanted to cut corners, I mean, what was it that when we were that simple outlet you were doing the other day?
Oh, yeah, the switches.
Yeah.
That was a clusterfuck.
Well, maybe a lot. I felt so bad too, because she was so relieved. She gets it back in, everything's fine, like everything's put away. She gets it back in, and she's going around the corner to talk to the client. I'm just cleaning up, and I'm like, oh, you know, we just put all this wiring back in. Let me test it real quick. Can I flick the light on? All right, fan comes on, nice. Flick the other light off, nothing happens. And I was like, and then I flick the other light off, and the light stays on. And I'm like, we did everything right. What's going on? And then she walks back, and I just went. And she looks at it, and she's like,
testing it.
It's always nice when it works the first time, but it doesn't always work the first time. So you'd think that, like, so we had some switches in this bathroom, and we had two wires coming in from the top and two wires coming in from the side. Mm-hmm. And you'd figure that the two wires coming in from the top, that's going to be our fan and our light.
Yeah.
For the bathroom, right?
This makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm tracking at this point. You would think.
I know exactly where this is going because I had the same damn thing happen.
Maybe this is some sort of Tacoma electrical.
I guess.
And honestly, because Tacoma is such an old city, and a lot of the houses have been here a very long time, there weren't exactly building codes. I've seen what I think to be a lot of DIY. I don't exactly know the historical like codes or whatnot, but Tacoma is kind of special because it is so, like, we've been here forever.
Blue collar, like the salt of the earth, do it yourself sort of aspect.
Well, grit city.
Yeah.
We got grit.
Yeah.
You know?
So at the we toured the Pythian Temple. It's a secret society.
Up here. Secret society. They have a freaking
neon sign.
Yeah,
up
it's
front.
Got a neon sign that says 15 temples right here. And you can buy their secret
it's
book
secret.
On Amazon. Yeah,
it's a secret, but we got a neon sign.
But the building is so old that they the lights were actually gas at one point. Remember?
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They were natural gas, right? Yeah. And so they had to rewire their, I guess, run wire because there was just no wire in
well,
it.
Well, and
right?
That's like, I mean, my house was built in 1951. Ours is the Craftsman House, the guy who built the next three houses north of ours. This was his house that
oh,
we
wow.
live in.
Okay.
So the next three down are just completely the same. Like, and ours is like the cool bigger one. But it's that same aspect. It was like, a guy decided he was going to build his house and then build three others to sell on his property.
Right.
And now it's just turned into whatever codification that the city has decided to figure out.
Like the fun of dealing with a house that came after people figured out what was wrong or before everybody came over, because then you have the house that you're just like,
You were saying that I think it was the well house on your property was like the insulation was sawdust. Sawdust.
Wow. This was a farm built by the guys who lived on the farm with stuff they had on the farm. And my grandfather grew up during the Great Depression. So if it worked still, you kept it and you just kept getting it to work. And turning an old milk parlor into a shop was a fun experience. That's taught me a lot.
That's kind of cool.
It's cool until you realize.
See it the other day.
It's cool until you realize the entire thing is wired into series, and if one light bulb goes out, every other light bulb down the lane goes out.
It's like Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Stop that with Christmas tree lights.
You found out very quickly why they stopped wiring the series. Yeah.
Another coaster question we got from C Note, one of our awesome patrons. He says, "Are there jobs that you like to do more than others?"
Ooh. Yes, absolutely.
Which ones?
So I love any carpentry work. I've been building wood projects since I was, I want to say knee high to a grasshopper.
Thank you. I love that too.
My papa, which is my grandpa, he was a carpenter for his all of his working life. And so he always had a good amount of carpentry tools always in the garage that he let me use.
Nice.
And then also, I do a lot of, there was one week I did, five exhaust fan installations, but...
So you're a master of it.
Yeah, no, honestly, I am. If you need a bathroom exhaust fan, dude, range hood...
Those are so important. People don't understand how important an exhaust fan for
and
your bathroom
keeping your,
is.
And it's also so important in keeping your kitchen clean, too.
Oh, yeah. That was such a, fucking keep your kitchen clean.
Bad it is when you have one and you don't have one, right?
You've seen my kitchen at my old place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So my landlord at my old place... There was no range fan installed at all. And you just see these brown stains drips on the wall.
You go in the kitchen, you're like,
it's
like an old smoker's house.
Exactly.
The nicotine on the walls, and you go to wash it, and you're just smearing the yellow away.
That's bad.
No, it was bad. I told my landlord, I'm like, you need to get one. Just get one. I'll install it. Give me $100 off my rent, whatever. Because I can't deal with this.
Yeah, they're important.
Yes, extremely so.
Well, and I mean that. Again, that just reminds me of our house, because we had and it was those things you buy a house and you go through and the inspector gives you essentially a honey-do list and in a binder and realizing that some of the things are absolutely ridiculous. Like with our fans went up into the attic, but the
ventilation
was laying on the floor of the attic. And so I had to go in there. No, not just going up into the attic. Up into the attic.
Oh, yeah. Let's just put a bunch of humid air up in our attic.
Yeah, the condensation and all that.
You know what, though? It's probably okay in the 70s or whenever it was renovated.
Or somebody just did it.
Or dude just did it on his weekend and he's like, man, attic's fine, fuck. Yeah.
But back in the day when they told people smoking was good for your...
Right, yeah.
Smoke a cigarette twice a day.
Yeah. Take some cocaine.
It energizes you. Gives you a little boost to your day.
So, yeah, I literally had to go up there and just kind of tape all of the ventilation in together and put it back up there. And I'm pretty sure it's fine, but I need to go back there and look at it. But again, it's like we still got to re-insulate the whole freaking house and all the millions of different projects that you have. I feel really accomplished when I'm like able to hang like the key rack like right next to my front door.
Is it level?
No. Also, like,
don't let us come in.
No.
Best thing is when a handy person walks in the house and goes,
Don't tell your hand. Actually, it might be level, but also at the same point, it I had to like screw it a couple of times because it just punched like a hole through like the drywall. Like,
yeah.
I feel like maybe if you're going to be doing anything, especially in a house, if you have decided as a renter to put holes in your wall, get a stud finder.
Get some drywall anchors.
Not toothpaste.
Molly bolts. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good options out there for anchors, particularly for drywall. And like, I know that's probably like one of the number one mistakes that people make when they go to like hang whatever it is that they're.
Use them, please.
I really love the Molly bolts. The Molly bolts are awesome for anchoring drywall.
Because studs should be a specific
16 on center.
Yeah. Right. What you just 24. Said is basically a code that people don't know. What does 16 on center mean?
Yeah. Yep. So 16 on center is so every 16 inches the center of a stud should be. So you've got your studs are normally 2x4s. Yep. Today they're an inch and a half.
See, and then here we go. And then always this is the problem, is because you always have these weird rules. They're like, no, it should be 16 inches. And they're but not if you're too close to a door. No, no.
Well, it also depends on what year your house was built. And
if it's a Tacoma bill, you'll fucking know. It's just a wild card.
So what's better? What's a better way to do it? Do you drill a pilot hole?
The best way to do it. So you have your stud finder. Yeah, good and all that.
I have a stud finder, but it goes off every time I pick it up.
Oh, shut up. I knew that was happening. God, get the fuck out of here.
I did that the other day. I found myself. I went right away because I know when your rib cage will go off.
Every time you turn one on, you have to do that.
It's like when you strap something down in the back of your truck, you gotta pull on the straps and say that's not going anywhere. But I would honestly, my favorite stud finder is like it has this like little magnet on it, which will find the nails, which is where your studs will be.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, that makes total sense then.
The 16 rule is good though, because like if you know like a light switch.
At least you have an idea where to start.
Well, like if you look in a room, you look at a light switch, you know that's connected to a stud probably.
Yeah.
So you start from there 16 inches over. That's just, if you look at a measuring tape, the 16 is red. Because
it'll have a red sign
because that's usually.
See, so
I didn't even realize.
I just want you guys to know for the last like minute, as soon as you started talking about, this is good to know. From then on, you said things that a lot of people don't know. People don't know that. They don't realize, I guess, unless you've seen it, that you know, a light switch or an outlet is connected to a stud. A lot of people don't really
be surprised how often you find one that's just dangling.
Someone just hammered it into the wall.
We'll show you some of the electrical work
you can buy
here.
those plastic the plastic ones at Home Depot and just mash them into the wall.
What was it? I think the
I kind of always forget that, like, honestly, like I forget that the things that I know aren't kind of common knowledge, you know.
You take it for granted.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why they can contact you.
Go
to TacomaHandyWoman.com.
I'm at friends' houses all the time that I'm just like, why does your thing do that? And then I end up 2 hours later, I'm in their house with all my tools just fixing something.
My buddies. Ah, so the good friend to have. So I'm going to put you on
number.
We're going to put you on our party, on my party list for the house.
What was it? My friend the one time messaged me. He's like, getting a new TV. And I was like, you want me to come help him out? And he's like, no, I got it. And then he sent me a picture an hour later of his TV cracked on the floor because he didn't use anchor. He didn't look finally find the studs, and he drilled his TV mount right into the drywall.
Oh, no.
And then he put the TV on there, just like,
Fuck.
Dude, you know how close were you going to tell them this?
I wasn't, but now I'm getting sold out right now.
I know.
This was on us.
This is a good luck story.
Yeah.
Like, we lucked the fuck out on this.
Yeah.
So I've got in my house is, like I told you, is kind of an interesting build, but what happened was is the garage used to be detached. I'm getting a little bit of backstory, but the garage used to be detached from the house, but then in the 70s, they built a bar that connects basically.
A walkway.
It just is like a big open bar area that it still connects the garage to the house, the main house, and it's all together now. That room is like, it's got like all like wood paneling.
Very 70s.
And it's like real wood paneling. It's not like the weird vinyl shit or anything.
Not like you'd see in trailers or
It's like, it's amazing to hang shit up. You just drill a fucking hole and it just sticks there because it's wood. It's great. So I decided I was going to hang my, I think it's a 50 inch, like the 50 inch TV.
Uh-huh.
And so we set up the mount and we put it in there and it's perfectly fine.
Dude, we measured that shit. We made sure it was level. We got studs. Yeah. Like we did it all perfectly.
Yeah, right. And I don't even think we smoked weed before. Like,
I'm sure that's not true. We did.
We got totally lit. I mean, it's in the bar, so we probably had a couple of drinks too.
I probably did, for sure.
And so we put it in and we get the mount set up and we're like, oh, that looks really good and it's set up. We go to set the TV up. Dink. Hits the ceiling.
The ceiling.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We couldn't get it in straight, but if we just tilted the mount forward a little bit, dude, we could get it enough to sneak it on there, and then we could put it straight.
Yeah.
We measured it exactly without thinking that we had to put it over to slide it into the mount.
We were so lucky. We had no idea.
But we totally fucking lucked out.
It just barely slides in. It looks so good.
And it's never leaving again. Like, that TV...
Anything that's plum, I love it.
When I sell the house, that TV mount's going to be there. Maybe the TV still as well.
You'll find out how often those things are either A, you make the mistake once, or you do it right the first time. But like, if you make a mistake once, I'm only making that mistake once in my life because especially after like if it's the fifth step in a project and you're like,
Learned that building just shitty, not IKEA furniture, but the Visagel shit you'll get on like Amazon. It's just like the wood and iron stuff you put together.
It's like made out of MDF, which is basically glued together sawdust.
You put things you don't really care about on them and you kind of hope it'll be fine. But it was I don't know how I managed to do it, but every time, so I've got to be super meticulous about this now, I've realized, I will put in one piece either upside down or backwards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, I don't know why. But it just happens. And like you said, it's going to be the fifth step in like a 14-step aspect. So I'm like looking at this and
that
I'm
was
like,
probably translated from Swedish.
And at the end, you're like, fuck it, it's all together. But I can tell that one piece is off.
Yeah.
But
you're
like, fuck it. It's all together.
I know it. And that's the problem.
Just leave it. I'm just like,
it'll drive me insane and I have to undo
it's
it.
It's living rent free in your mind.
That is 100% the light switch that I changed in my kitchen. That isn't white. It's off white.
As they call it, almond.
That's what bothered me.
And every time I walk by, it's one of those, okay, how much is it annoying me today?
Enough to
be like, that's a tomorrow problem.
Or that's a call Tacoma handy woman problem.
Right? And that's, I mean, we had to do that with Rusty when we got our plumbing work done. We had a bunch of plumbing work done because we needed it. And they didn't mention until afterwards, and we didn't think to ask, but they didn't do drywall work. They will cut the drywall out.
Oh, yeah.
And we have cats.
It's just,
the job that we just did, I'm writing up a quote right now for the holes that we made, because the electrician company is like, we need to get into the walls.
We don't cut the holes and we don't replace the holes. That's not our job.
Our job is a wiring, you know, exactly.
And again, that's another thing that I don't know how many people think about, but if they've got to do that sort of work, you need to get somebody else.
Ask what they do.
Or you need to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And exactly. We were able to do some basic drywall on a couple of these spots, but for this huge aspect, we had to recut the segments to make sure that they were linear or... Linear, is that the right word?
Linear?
Whatever. Sure. Yeah, probably.
Square.
But, yes, square. And then I realized, I was like, we tried, and I couldn't even, like, mix the shit correctly.
Oh, like, you got the dry powder that you had to mix up?
Yeah. I tried to use that, and I couldn't.
I just used the pre-mix stuff.
I didn't know this anymore, because I look up on, like, YouTube, like, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's no problem. You just do that, and you do the little fucking thing that just looks like it's entrancing, that just the sliding back and forth and the gooping in and mixing it.
Well, and that's
it looks great. It's like, oh, I could do that.
Oh, yeah. No, so much looks like I could do that fine. Then you do it and you're like, how does he do that so well?
It's like they say like 2-to-1 water and it turned into shit. I have to have more water. Now you all realize
the guy recording it saying this is easy and he's done it 30 times in the last month.
It's like 30 years. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, like that is one of the things about like the DIY YouTube videos is they're usually made by professionals who have been doing whatever it is they're trying to teach you for so many years. They make it look so easy. It's like whenever I'm trying to fix something on my car, like I'll go like, you know, YouTube, like how do I replace my power steering pump? Or, you know, whatever it is. And like,
call Bucky's.
I call her because that's the one thing I have no experience with is cars. And like, I got excited when I changed I always love it when I change my windshield wipers because I'm like, woo, I'm about to get it.
No, yeah.
And then I changed my headlight the one time and I was like,
headlights and windshield wipers are what I can do.
I'm a mechanic now. Yeah.
Those are the two things that I can absolutely do. But beyond that, no.
Yeah, you can do your oil, but it sucks. And you gotta get rid of it.
I can go to 38th Street.
Well, it's really fucking easy
Autoloo.
To get rid of it, actually. My dad was a backyard mechanic, so I learned everything.
My grandpa was, but yeah, he was the kind of guy who would Frankenstein a machine. Like, I had a Ford Explorer that had a completely different, like, I think it had a Chevy engine in it. Like, it's that aspect
probably
of
like
it.
Like a 305 or something.
Sure.
That's our reaction to certain things. Someone says, yeah, sure, right.
It was a quarter tank of gas to get from Lakewood to, like, the north end of Tacoma. It was bad.
The new work van I just bought, I'm like, man, V8s, it takes, and gas is so going up gas. Right now. Yes. And it's like I went out to Yelm and back the other day, and it was like $35 of just gas. So it's like, okay, well, this is what I made on the job, minus, you know.
Well, it seems like you are able to travel around a lot to a lot of different places, or you're willing to travel to some places.
Definitely. Now that I got the work van, I'm gonna have to start charging more though.
I have a
truck as well, but it's like one of those things that like I have to it's having time to like really like dig into it and work on it and all that. But when I was like, before I even learned to drive, my dad was like, you need to learn how to check all your fluids and stuff like that.
I got a story about that.
I was actually teaching somebody to drive recently. Like, I take on all kinds of odd jobs.
Yeah. Teach your kid to drive and then replace your toilet. I'll do it all.
It kind of reminds me of this anime that I watched called Odd Jobs Gin. He would take on like any kind of, and it was always they'd always get into like the weirdest situations.
Sounds about right.
But yeah, no, I am. So my business license is good for like all of Pierce County. I also work out in Kitsap. And I think I've done one or two in Thurston. Yeah.
Cool.
That's pretty solid. I mean, just going around and being able to do all that. I mean, it's, again, like, especially in this area, driving is a gigantic pain in the ass.
Depending on what time it is, yeah.
So if you're like, yeah, if you're living out there in Bremerton, or if you're living down a little bit further out, like, take that into consideration when you contact.
That's the nice thing about being in Tacoma is you're like at a good highway point for basically any direction.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what I like about living here, is at least in the sense of I can get on the freeway and go anywhere right away. And it's usually just straight.
In town, you're about 10 minutes away from everything.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of the best parts. If you're like on close to 7 and you're able to get, because right there, because you can 7 to 705, go to I-5, and you're pretty much pretty fine with all of it, as long as it's not during commuter hours.
That's what I think I said earlier. I was like, yeah, if I'm in Tacoma, I'd rather walk most places than drive, just because it's easier. Yeah.
Well, shit's feral, too. Yeah. Like, I called when we went to Spokane for the last time we went. It was ridiculous, but I called that place fucking feral, because I'm just watching people drive. Like, all, like,
oh, Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's like, Seattle's its own demon, because Seattle is this urban sprawl that's surrounded by all this, like, rural dumbfuckery. So people will drive around.
And pedestrian dumbfuckery.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Walk out in front of your car.
Oh, yeah, I'm not even counting, like, the pedestrian wild card. I'm just talking about people who live out of the city trying to drive into the city and just get, like, I was talking about that paralysis, the information paralysis, where they'll just do the dumbest stuff. Like, suddenly they're going down a one-way street, and then they see a parking spot, like, three ways back that they passed.
Oh, they're
going to
just
back up. And they're just going to try to figure it out. You lost your fucking chance. Yeah. Like, no, circle around and pray.
That's why I love the audacity that my brother had when I was growing up, because at the time when I learned to drive, they weren't teaching stick anymore. And it used to be my family. You used to learn how to have to learn how to drive stick. I don't know how to drive it still. My brother at the time did, and he had the audacity to ask if I wanted to learn how to drive stick in Seattle. And I was like, no.
On the hills?
Yeah. I was like, no. We're going to drive out to Yelm where there's straight roads. And if we stall at an intersection, I'm not going to get, like, bombarded.
Yeah, straight up.
When I lived in Seattle, I drove stick.
I still drive stick, and that was like, and I work in Seattle, and there's a couple of roads that are literally like cobblestone roads.
Yes, like,
and
down people, by Pikes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And with, I had this 97 Dodge Neon.
Nice.
And I remember it was at the bottom of one of the Pike Place roads, and my car just did not have enough torque to get up the hill. So I had to, like, there was somebody behind me, and I had to, like, roll down my window. Cause, you know, back, this is like 1997. So, like,
No electric.
No,
she says that as I drive a 2004 Ford Ranger that has that. Oh, I love it. People are like, my window.
I'm
gonna yell at you eventually in 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, I had to wave the guy around, and then I had to just, like, throw it in neutral and coast back, and then try at the hill again.
and people don't realize, like, most people don't drive sticks anymore.
Yeah, and they'll come up right behind you, like, super close.
I'm, like, yelling at the person because I'm like, I can't even start to shift.
Right.
My car is 15 years old, so if I don't hit it just right, it will die. It will just, like, sputter and fucking die. Yeah.
Whatever. They'll catch you.
They will. Your car will catch me. That's trust fall. Come on, have fun with this one. So I totally get it, but like, I don't even know where we're going with that, but I love it just because fucking God. All right, one more before we get out of here. We do have one more coaster question from Trixie999. It's a new person, but they said, "What are some basic tips when considering a home repair?" So before you're even getting into the dirty work of it, like, what are some of the basic tips when you're considering doing it?
Okay, so, like, I guess I'll do as a homeowner and as somebody who's in the trade too. So as a homeowner, when it comes to, like, home repair, I always recommend researching it, but make sure that, like, when you're researching your home repair, you're looking at a reputable source, something, and you want to know, like, all of the steps involved in that repair. So, when you do, like, call a professional, or maybe you decide to do it DIY, you know that, like, for example, like, if you're calling a professional, you already know what's involved with the home repair and why you're getting the price that you're getting. if it's something that, like, for, there's a lot of people who attempt to DIY. I actually considered having my slogan, like, I'll fix what your husband fixed.
But that's also a solid thing, too, because people will think that they can do it via just a YouTube video.
Right.
They'll see that. When we just talked about that, how sometimes you're like, oh, they make it look easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. And people shouldn't be afraid to contact a professional if it goes sideways.
Right.
Like, understand when
you're prepared to.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Like, understand that you may get in too deep.
Yep, exactly. You may fail. You may fail. But, you know, I have done a couple of those, and I always, my pricing is very affordable, fair, and I can usually fit in my schedule like within 1 to 2 weeks, you know.
That's pretty solid on that.
I was going to say, I think from what we were talking about not too long ago, like, you know, I this might be great for our business, like working stuff, but like, I encourage people all the time to try and learn stuff on their own because it's fun. It's extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying when you're like, I fixed this on my own. Yep. But at the same time, you are taking on the chance of costing yourself a lot more money by doing it on your own. And I learned very quick as someone I was confident to learn and try things, but know your limits and be prepared to say, you know, I'm going to call a professional because there's a reason there's professionals. You know, most people can do a lot of things on their own, and it's very easy to learn sometimes if you're willing to take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I even just remember having, it was Rusty again, but like, cause he's my go-to with a lot of that stuff. I have a green screen in my studio at home, and I believed that it was the same philosophy of studs going across and figuring all of that out, but I wasn't going to do that on my own. Like, it was the, I guess, the confidence of having someone who, again, like you, licensed, bonded, insured, he's just helping me out, like that sort of aspect. It wasn't even a full on like booking sort of aspect.
And but honestly, like, there's been some clients that I've taken on, like, they're like, can you teach me how to do this? And I'm like, sure. Like, you know, like, if you're
I'd be afraid to ask it. Most people, I think that, I mean, I don't speak for everybody, but for both of us, I'd love if people wanted to learn how to do things.
Yeah. And I know that most tradespeople probably wouldn't be like down with that, you know, because they're like, oh, well, that's taking away money. But honestly, like, I think it's more empowering people than, you know, taking away money out of my pocket. Like, I'd love to, like, start, like, I was telling David the other day, I was like, I would love to make, like, TikTok or, like, real videos where I would teach people, you know, how to wire a switch or, like, how to install trim. Things like that. Things that aren't as hard as people think.
They're
honestly,
just a lot of the times there, it's just intimidating.
I think a big misconception, like, if I could tell like the world one thing about the trades and working in handiwork, the biggest thing to know is when you're as a client and as a person trying to have a, you know, work with a client.
Yeah.
When you're paying someone to fix something, you're not paying them for the work. It doesn't matter if it's going to take 30 minutes or a week. You're paying for the experience of them knowing what they're fixing.
Yeah.
And when they run into a problem, which is almost inevitable at any project.
Oh, absolutely. Always inevitable.
You're going to have to do troubleshooting of, okay, this isn't going to work the way it should. Let me figure out how to make this work properly and safely. You're paying for the experience of, you know, this person can do that in 15 minutes because the problem they ran into, they've already solved it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that person took 15 minutes to do that job and didn't have to destroy half your kitchen fixing that job. Because I'm not gonna lie, there's going to be times where, you know, like she was saying, if you're going to fix something on your own, map out what you're doing know, oh, if I had to replace this outlet, when I pull all the outlet out, I don't have any grounding wire. And my how wiring's so old that there's no indication of what's the neutral and all that. Like,
yeah. And dude, a lot of times in a knob and tube, like the neutral and the hot would be switched or it'll be a hot neutral.
Tip number one, turn off the breaker.
Oh yeah.
Wherever you're doing electrical work.
Right.
That is the zero step.
Have a no contact tester to put it next to the wiring. If it goes beep, you turned off the wrong breaker. Yeah.
That's one thing. Hey, that's one thing. If you have an apartment, get a non-contact wire tester. Get one of those and keep it in your toolbox.
You can get it at Harbor Freight for like $3.99.
Describe one. They look kind of like a pen.
Yes,
right?
they're kind of like a pen. They're like a non-contact voltage tester,
and
I believe.
Just light up or make noise. They,
like when you put it to like an outlet or a switch, it will go. It will light up.
Yeah.
My Klein one lights up. I haven't used that Harbor Freight one yet because I found my Klein. But
it'll my usually. Klein. Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Oh, trusty. Oh, I know. Klein shit is expensive. It's nice. Yeah. They were nice equipment for sure.
Yeah, definitely the go to.
But yeah, no, those are fantastic, and everybody should have one. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or the outlet tester. There's another one you can get that you plug into an outlet, and that'll tell you a lot of information that, honestly, like you were saying, if people go to fix things on their own, it's great too to like prep for a job. If you're going to call someone, do the research so you can help them, because I don't care what job I'm doing. If I get there and someone's taped out exactly the hole they want me to cut, I'm not going to be upset about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And if they've gone, hey, I found a stud here. Oh, great.
And just the having that knowledge, because a lot of the times you're not going to necessarily know like what is going wrong, but you're also going to want to know if something's going wrong, you want to be able to like hopefully stop it at some sort of aspect. I just remembered my buddy Chris. I think he's a patron too. But Chris, he lives in a house, I swear, that was like built in like the 20s. And you know the Tacoma houses that have like four rooms upstairs, but they're all like a half of a room.
They put in like three
walls to make it a four bedroom, and you're like, this is one bedroom,
guys. Like the Men in Black scene.
This is actually an attic, not bedrooms.
Well, it's like the narrowest staircase ever possible. You can't put any. Like,
and it angles like at 90 degrees every
brother's first
house. This is his house, but with the electrical work, he woke up in the middle of the night to one of his outlets glowing red.
Oh my God. Sure.
Yeah. And he just rents. So he was like, but he figured out, obviously, go and turn off the breaker to that room, contact the landlord, which fortunately that day, like they were able to get that fixed.
Yeah.
But at least know how to turn off like
stuff. No, yeah. And one thing I run into a lot is that a lot of breaker panels are not labeled very well. So
ours were labeled great. So I was so thankful for that. Oh,
I'm always like super grateful whenever I go into a situation where the breaker panel is labeled really nicely, like range, microwave, living room, lights, all that stuff. But what David was mentioning is the plug-in thing. There's actually a kit that you can get that has the plug-in and what's called like a sniffer. So you plug in to the outlet that you maybe want to work on, right? And you take the sniffer over to the breaker and you touch each breaker. And it'll beep at the correct breaker because it sends a signal down the line.
So you can really find out where each specific outlet will go to.
Yes.
And that's that handy shit that you need if you're going to be working on any project. Because a lot of it is, like you like said, getting into like just the pre-work, like getting it all set up and getting it ready.
Yeah. And I also do want to add one other thing. As someone whose wiring was redone and they didn't label it well afterwards.
Oh no.
Double check the light switch in that room. Just an extra step.
Did you touch the neutral to the
No,
hot?
I knew better, thankfully. I've worked with maintenance, so adopted some of that information.
That's a good thing.
Yep. But yeah, had I not, it would have been an issue.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Hey, you still get shocked sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're dealing with electricity. You will get fucking zapped
I'm proud to say, I've rewired a whole house. Like, I've done a lot of electrical. I've only been, zapped about, five times, I think.
Good call. Good call.
Usually it takes once before you realize.
One of them was yesterday, though.
Turn off the... I gotta take responsibility for one of them. I gave her a power strip that I was given as a gift that I thought was brand new, and she messaged me. She's like, your power strip electrocuted me because four of the elves didn't work. And I felt so horrible. I was like, I am so sorry. I didn't... I thought it was fine. I should have tested it.
I love it. Seriously, Michelle David, thank you for being on.
Yeah, this was awesome.
You can go to TacomaHandyWoman.com, and there's literally TacomaHandyWoman.com/booking. If you just click on that, you can get estimates right away, either remote or in person. Mm-hmm. And then if you know what you want, I mean, you have lists for different, like the carpentry work, electrical work, plumbing, picture hanging, but they can just contact you and say, hey, this is what we need. How should we go about this?
Call or text. Cause like, I know for me, like I used to have phone anxiety. So I'd be like, text, you know, I am fine to text with anybody about whatever project they need done. Give me a call. I've gotten over the phone anxiety now, so I will answer.
And I have no choice.
And I also, even on the website and just the About You section, it really talked about, again, you're talking about like the apprehension with even making phone calls.
Yeah.
But the apprehension, and we talked about it, of having just a random person in your house.
Right.
Like, you're able to alleviate those fears by...
Yeah, especially when it comes to like single women. Actually, they're a big part of my clientele. So whenever I do an estimate or like come to talk to you for the first time, it's just going to be me. We're going to talk about your project. I was telling Justin before we were taping that, at my old house there, my landlord was having some contractors come in and like, he didn't tell anybody. And like, I come down the stairs in my like little shorty shorts and PJs. And I see like two big men in the living room. I'm like, oh, whoop, let me go back upstairs.
Yeah, I'm gonna go hide again because these people are just suddenly here.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, I'm very warm, welcoming, you know, like I'm a trustworthy person.
And you have even stated on the site that you can do Zoom consults.
Yes.
Like if
absolutely.
You like, so if it's like you can get rid of that apprehension right away by literally having a face to face over video. If I mean, and it's not that Tacoma is wholly unsafe, but you also need to
realistic.
Be realistic about your surroundings and understand that. And if there's any way that can help alleviate those potential fears, take those steps, and you've made those available, which
absolutely.
Is fantastic.
Like I do. I'm an on-call person for like a women's like domestic abuse shelter.
Oh wow, awesome!
Yeah, they've got like three apartment kind of complexes in the area that I do work for, and
that's fantastic.
Yeah, no. And like I especially like want women to know that, like, you know, I am a safe person to do business with, to help you with whatever you need help with.
And it also seems it would be another aspect of that as well, would be kind of the older generations, the ones that maybe can't quite fix something. So if you're someone listening to this and you have like parents who own a house and they need some help, this might be a way for you to be able to, if you don't like live in the area and you can't help out, or if you're too busy because you are, you know, an adult with your own life,
right,
you can say, hey, we can get a person in here who can help out I don't want to say like a non-threatening way, but in that like the safe aspect of it, to alleviate those sort of fears.
Exactly.
That is super awesome. I love all of that.
Say growing up with a single mother, I would have loved to have someone like her. That's one of the reasons I enjoy working with her so much. And like, I don't ever mind, like I've told her multiple times, I'm backup. If you ever need me, like I'm there. Cause I just want to help. Cause I'm like absolutely proud to see her flourish so much. And I've loved seeing what she does. And I've even been there for some of the phone calls. She's been with the clients of people that just appreciate her her compassion. And
and sometimes it's just even the aspect of like not wanting to be mansplained to and have that whole aspect.
That's a big part of it. True. Actually, I've had clients literally thank me for, you know, not doing that.
Not talking down to you as a person, like just trying to get something fixed.
Exactly.
So I love it. Again, you can find Michelle at
TacomaHandywoman.com. Again, on the Facebook, you can find all the information on that. And we've posted it on this link, like in our description. All the links are there, so everyone can go check it out. You guys, seriously, thank you so much for being on and answering some questions. Yeah. In the future, we're going to get you back on, because I know we're going to figure something out. You're probably going to have to come over to the house and fix all the shit that I fucked up.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to listen to us live, you can hit up our Discord whenever we put out these events.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, just join in. And sometimes you can ask questions of the people who are there. It might be us. It might just be other listeners. You can embark on the fun journeys of, like, the movie chat. Try to get fit with us, grit fit.
Mm-hmm. You could be a patron.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Speaking of movie chat, we just recorded a good half-hour conversation talking about sequels, upcoming remakes, and other things. So,
oh, boy.
If you want to hear that, make sure you're subscribe to the Patreon.
Yep, you can go to patreon.com/GritCityPodcast, or we also have the links right up on GritCityPodcast.com. Lots of ways to interact with us, and remember, we will be doing putt stuff, too, in the summer. Mm-hmm. We're figuring all of the details out on that, so definitely join mini putt-putt golf. So,
oh, fun. Yeah. I love putt-putt.
Putt stuff.
Putt stuff, yeah. Yeah, we dabble a little putt stuff.
Come again.
No, putt stuff.
Yep, looking at mid-August.
Yep, mid-August, and we're going to make that happen, so definitely check out all of our stuff. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, guys, stay gritty.
You've been listening to the Grit City Podcast. Check them out at gritcitypodcast.com.